In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God.
We confess that we are added to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you for our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation. And by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought low, and God saved me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt well with you.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. The second reading is a reading from James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For it will profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life. Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever put your foot in your mouth? Not a pleasing feeling once you realize it. Have you ever said something over and over, and then over time you realize that that wasn't such a good thing to have been saying? Do you discern what you say or post these days? Does not seem like we might be as discerning with our words as a society. And I understand how easy it is to get pulled into responding and reacting to people. But in the letter that we hear from James today, James admits that, one, we do make mistakes, but also warns that we need to be careful about, one, our boasting, but two, sounding and looking like hypocrites. More Christians need to reflect on these words from James, to think of how much damage is done when we bless the Lord with our lips, but then curse others who are made in the image and likeness of God. Quite frankly, people that I encounter who are leaving the church, their primary reason is because of the people. They're seeing the contradictions of those saying that we have faith in Jesus Christ, gathering together to bless God, and then turn around and curse other human beings. They can't wrap their minds around that, so they don't want to be a part of that. Some of them don't leave Jesus, but they can't reconcile it with the community that they know they're supposed to be a part of as well, but they're having difficulty. As James reminds us, the tongue can do great evil. It can tear people down. And one of the worst things that was taught to me as a kid was that sticks and stones can break your bones, but names will never hurt me. It's a lie, and I hope we're not teaching that to our children today, and that church and society is taking it seriously, that our words matter. And I'm just talking about people's feelings getting hurt, but that matters. I'm not just talking about how our words can have an impact on someone's emotional and mental health, though that matters. I'm talking about how the words we use, how our tongue can not only tear a person down, but when we demonize and dehumanize someone, great violence can be justified against them. Because we hear that rhetoric, we regurgitate that rhetoric, and then we justify what can be done, because they're less than human now. We must be a people transformed by listening to God. Because when we listen to what our Lord Jesus has to say, then we're given something holy. We're given a holy word to bless people, not to condemn them. See, when we don't like what we hear from Jesus, we ignore it. It's a temptation. We walk away from it. We cling to a different word. Before I went away on vacation, I believe it was the gospel text in John where Jesus says, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood," right? He lost a lot of followers that day because they didn't like what he was saying. Today's gospel lesson is similar. Jesus begins to teach the disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Peter didn't like what Jesus had to say. And quite frankly, American Christians still aren't crazy about this either. Now, I had an atheist ask me the other day how Christians pick and choose the scriptures that are important or not. They said they'd been struggling with Christians, and I took that to mean that they're struggling with Christians conveniently using scriptures to condemn and tear down people, and then using other scriptures to boast themselves up. Basically, everything that James has a problem with. But for us, the scriptures contain Christ. Martin Luther said that the scriptures are the manger in which the Christ child lays. Do we worship the manger? No, we worship what's in the manger, right? So we don't worship the Bible. We worship what the Bible contains, what the Bible points us to. They point us to Christ. And so when we read, study, and reflect individually and in community, we're discerning and wrestling with how this word is pointing us to the crucified and risen Christ in our midst. And I believe, particularly as Lutheran Christians, we put a lens to the scriptures that is read through the cross. And so today's gospel lesson gives us an invitation here from Jesus. That when we follow Jesus, we're not only thinking of ourselves, but denying ourselves. And in that sense, we're aware that there's more, it's not just about me. That there's something larger than myself that I'm connected to, God. And that God wants to put me in relationship with other people, loving them by picking up our cross and following our Lord. But we see a paradox in what Jesus is saying, right? When you know, those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their lives will have life. Well, it's true because I feel sad for people that wanted to, when they're only closed in on themselves, they're not really getting to see and experience all that life has to offer, all that God wants to bless them with. They think they're holding on to something, but they're shutting themselves off to so much more. But when we are able to open ourselves up, open up our lives, our minds, and our hearts to other people, we're also not blessing them, but we're receiving blessings from them. I think part of what can get that paradox to hit home for us, if you've ever been here for Christmas Eve or Easter Vigil, there's a candle lighting a part of that where we spread, we spread the light. So when we light candles, when you share your light, does it get darker in the room or brighter? Gets brighter, right? So that's what we're getting at here, is that what seems to be is like if we keep giving, we're going to be out. No. We keep opening ourselves and willing to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. There's going to be more light in the world. There's going to be more life in our lives to experience. Life in abundance, as Jesus wants us to have. So it's a call to listen to Jesus and to not be ashamed of the words and the ways of Jesus. Because Jesus shows us the way of sacrificial love. Jesus' words gives us love and not fear, life and not death. Yet like Peter, we're quick to be ashamed and get in the way. But the good news is that what we're ashamed of, that's taken on by Christ on the cross. We are met with God's grace in Jesus Christ. Peter tried to get in the way, and the good news is that he couldn't fully get in the way. Jesus still did what he needed to do. So even when we try to get in the way, the Lord will get us out of the way. Don't worry, we're not that powerful. And that in our sin and shame and brokenness, Christ meets us with grace. Now I've reflected with you over the past 10 years on 9/11. And something that I've heard recently for this anniversary is this call to be what we were as a nation on September 12th. And I think behind that, it's well-intentioned. It's a call towards unity and love of one another. I get the sentiment, but I don't think it's a calling that will last. Now, what I said in the past is that we should not allow 9/11 to mark us in a way that takes away from what the cross has done. See, we live in a post-resurrection world. We're an Easter people. Let's live into that. Why would we allow an event marked by terror, fear, and death dictate how we live moving forward, as opposed to the event marked by sacrifice, love, and life on the cross? Which one should dictate how we live? Sacrifice, love, and life, not fear, terror, and death. As an Easter people, we're called to pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. And the reason why I kind of say, like, you know, that nine, it didn't work, right? We're more divided than ever in many ways. And as I reflect on the tragedies of 9/11, I believe that we can say that God is with us in our pain, and that's a theology centered on the cross. That God knows our pain, God knows our grief, God knows what it is to lose loved ones in Christ Jesus. Jesus knows what it's like to experience pain and death, to feel abandoned. God knows that pain. And God chooses to be with us in that pain. But notice how Christians ignore the cross. See, I think particularly in the United States, we want God to flex his power in a way that models more of what, like, a kind of a macho man in our society would do. And then when tragedy occurs, people come up with the most unhelpful ideas of why there's pain and suffering in the world. Because they're not looking at it through the lens of the cross. And so that just adds more problems there. Pushes people away from hearing the gospel. It doesn't reflect the faith that we know in the scriptures when we consider the cross of Jesus Christ. How death and evil are defeated not with more violence, not with more evil, but with love. Love nailed to a cross. That is the way that Jesus Christ comes to us. Through love, not violence. The way of Jesus Christ comes to us with peace, not hate. And it's something that people can't come to terms with. The ways and words of Jesus Christ. Because in the 20 years since September 11, 2001, I'm not sure there's been more peace. There's certainly been more war. Has love always flourished the way it should be? There's still fear. There's still division. There's still death. That's what being a 9/12 people got us the first time around. Why would it be any different this time around? As Christians, let us cling to the Word, Jesus Christ. As Christians, let us follow Jesus by picking up the cross and following Him. Following Him and sharing the love of Jesus with people that we encounter on the way. We know where it's going to end with Jesus. Why wouldn't we pick up and follow that way? And never forget that invitation that Jesus has for us to be fed and nourished at the table here. Because I hear that too around this anniversary. Never forget. Well, I want to tell you, sisters and brothers in Christ, never forget the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ that's shed for you. Never forget the one who is the host of this meal and is present in the meal, the true body of blood of Christ given for you. Never forget that Jesus is with us here. Meets us in our mistakes, meets us in our sin, meets us in our pain, in our suffering, in our grieving. Never forget that the one who is for you is with you and then sends you out into this broken world as part of the new creation in Him to share that love with all people that you encounter. Never forget that. May we be a people whose words build people up, whose actions truly share the love of Jesus. Let us embody the love and peace that comes from God. Let us listen to God and be transformed by that word. Let us receive our God in word and sacrament and be made new. And may we accept that invitation to follow and be fed and never forget that our Lord, who is with us always, also makes each and every one of us instruments of love and peace so that others would get a glimpse of all that is to come in Jesus Christ. Let us never forget that. Let us embody that. Let us be that people in this world today and always. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you read. Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Revealing God, you have made yourself known through bread and wine, water and word. Continue to nurture your church, that it is a place where your presence is experienced and shared. Lord, in your mercy. God of ministry, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, you brought life into being and called it good. Bring new creation to lands devastated by tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, and other disasters. Restore forests and curb overflowing waters. Lord, in your mercy. Protecting God, you desire all people to live in peace and safety. Provide for all who are in danger. Strengthen first responders to help meet to the complex needs of others. provide care and compassion as they face trauma themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Transforming God, you announce release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. Break chains of discrimination and injustice. Amplify voices that go unheard and inspire us to advocate for those who are overlooked. Lord, in your mercy. Forming God, you gather this community together. Shape our communal life, that in our prayer, praise, and worship, we honor you and encourage one another. Keep our disagreements civil and increase our joy in working together. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, we pray for those who are ill, especially Barb, Matt, Tracy, Scott, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Timothy, Candace, Stan, Eileen, Blaine, Jasmine, Michelle, Audrey, David, Nola, John, Art, Gloria, Faith, Megan, Rob, Leah, Rick, and our homebound. Lord, in your mercy. God of all nations, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy. Redeeming God, you accompany your people through every stage of life. We give you thanks for the saints who now rest in your embrace. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
O God, most mighty, O God, most merciful, O God, our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows, and Jesus, our brother, he was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering his death, we cry out, Amen.
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, Amen.
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, Amen.
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic, O God, most motherly, O God, our strength and our song. You show us the vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuously. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There will be two stations with consecrated wine. And if you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side only. An usher will dismiss you forward. They'll have trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need, and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John, Lutheran Church, Windfall, ascended in the Word. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.